The following program is pre-recorded.
It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just isn't so. Author and humorist Mark Twain is often credited with that line, but whoever said it, it's vital to know what is true. And with so much information bombarding us every day, especially about investing, it's easy to lose sight of the really important stuff. Our host, Rob West, speaks with investing expert Mark Biller to sort all that out, and we take your calls on anything at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. What we all need to know, that's next right here on MoneyWise. Well, Rob, Mark Biller is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. He joins us by phone from his shelter-in-place bunker in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's right, Steve. And with the way the coronavirus has affected 401ks and IRAs, this is a much-needed exercise. Mark, delighted to have you back on MoneyWise.
Hey, good to be with you.
Well, let's start today, before we break down some timeless truths from God's Word, and then perhaps a history lesson on how we can interpret the markets in light of this virus. Start by giving us just a bit of an overview. What do we need to know about coronavirus and the markets?
Yeah, well, we know that the world, and as a result, the markets have really been in turmoil because of this fast-moving pandemic. Just to review real briefly, you know, after setting a new record high on February 19th, it took the market just 16 trading sessions to enter bear market territory, which is usually defined as a drop of at least 20%. So that made this bear market by far the fastest one in history. To give a sense of perspective, historically, it's taken bear markets an average of about 8 months to do what this bear market did in just 16 trading days.
Incredible.
So if this bear market felt especially jarring and painful, that's really because it was. This one really has been unusual in terms of its speed and severity. And of course, you've got the very real world health impact on top of that.
No doubt. But we also know, Mark, and we appreciate how you remind us of this often, that there are some very reassuring and timeless truths that we can pull from God's Word that really apply to situations like this and really the whole of our lives. I'd love for you to unpack those for us.
Yeah, sure. Well, for starters, you know, we know that we aren't supposed to be afraid. So 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." And beyond that, we know that God is always with us, He's always for us, and He always loves us. So 1 John 3:1 tells us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Now we also know that God is aware of our needs, and He promises to provide for us. Matthew 6:8 tells us your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And later in that same chapter, verses 31 to 33, Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, you know, the Bible also tells us that in this world there's going to be trouble. But regardless of what happens in the markets, God's Word teaches us to be patient, to take the long view. So another one of our favorite investing verses is Proverbs 21:5, which reads, "Steady plodding brings prosperity, hasty speculation brings poverty." And finally, and I think it's so important in light of the human cost of this virus, we know that God has a purpose for every trial that we experience. He uses those trials to mold our character and draw us closer to Him if we're willing to let Him use those things in our lives. Now, Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, and he concludes that discussion with the Lord's reply to his request to remove that from him. And the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Mm. This is such timeless wisdom that we can apply in any situation, but definitely reassuring as we navigate these interesting times.
Mark Biller with us today from soundmindinvesting.org. Our topic, what we all need to know about investing, the Bible, God's promises, and we'll be back with more after this brief break.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, you can request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you with us today on MoneyWise. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and Mark Biller is with us today from soundmindinvesting.org. And we're talking about something that Christians ought to be, and that's optimistic because we know the end of the story. The article that Mark is quoting from today is titled The Enduring Optimism of an Investor, and you can find it available to read at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob? Mark, I appreciate your biblical perspective. You always bring analysis of the markets and investing through the lens of God's word, and we so appreciate that. You know, for the person who's saying, Mark, I'm struggling with this because as a believer, I realize that God gives to me as a steward to provide for my needs, but I'm struggling with the tension between the needs in the world and the giving that I'm doing today, and perhaps feeling guilty about setting something aside or investing for the longer term. How do you help them process that?
Well, we know that investing is a biblical idea, and saving certainly is a biblical idea. Providing for our families is something that's outlined very clearly that we're supposed to do, and part of that provision is putting aside, especially during good times, for times that aren't so good. So the idea of saving for the future and investing for the future, those are very sound ideas. Now, as always, the difficult part is finding the right balance. You know, we don't want to be hoarding on the one hand, but we don't want to be foolishly not preparing for the future either. And I think really this is a great example. This period that we've been going through is a great example of how, at least in our modern economy, there are going to be periods when these things kind of come out of left field, and you have to have some reserves in order to navigate those well. So I think that to some degree it is an individual thing where you just have to seek the Lord and His wisdom of where that balance is for you. But I think, you know, at a minimum, the typical advice of trying to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses on hand so that if you do run into something like this, periodically, if you do run into a job loss, you know, you're not up the creek immediately. You at least have some reserves to draw down on.
Yeah, that's very, very helpful. All right. You know, it's also important as we consider times like this to take some lessons from market history and previous bear markets, periods that we've been in historically that are similar, even if the circumstances were different, the market indications and the market cycles were perhaps similar to what we're going through. So help us unpack what we're experiencing in light of the past.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I think as a starting point, Rob, you know, it's important to point out that investing isn't a perfect science, and there's no formula that we can just plug in the data and it'll tell us what happens next. But we can learn from the past, and there are definitely some helpful lessons that we can draw on from previous bear markets. So first of all, you know, every bear market has unique causes. This COVID-19 pandemic bear market has been different from what we saw in the financial crisis in 2008, which was different from when the tech bubble popped in that bear market of 2000, and so on. You could keep going back. Each one has unique causes that are different, but every deep bear market also generates similar investor responses. So investors inevitably get fearful when markets start to drop sharply. And when people panic, they tend to make bad decisions. Fear drives people out of the markets, and that fear also tends to keep them out of the markets long after the inevitable recovery has begun. You know, one of the things, having done this for quite a long time, the worst part of bear markets for us is the inevitable phone calls and emails that we'll get years out from now, 3 years out, 4 years out, 5 years out, with people telling us, I bailed out during the bear market and I've sat out on the sidelines for the last 3 years and now I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of decisions that really hurt an investor's long-term, like lifetime type of return and ability to build the type of retirement savings that they need. And that's a big reason why we constantly stress that it's so important to have a plan. You know, selling some stock holdings, say, for example, early in a bear market, that may be a good decision, or it may be a terrible decision, depending on whether it's part of your long-term plan. And if you don't have a long-term plan, you need one. If you don't know how to create one that's appropriate for you, the resources at soundmindinvesting.org can help you with that process. But one of the great lessons from market history, which we discuss in the article Steve mentioned, The Enduring Optimism of an Investor, is that these scary market-moving events actually happen pretty regularly. If you look at them in history, they come every so often. And yet, through them all, we know that the market has continued this constant jagged climb higher over time.
Yeah. You know, Mark, as we look at any other investment opportunity in terms of how our money can work for us over the long haul to grow systematically, you know, we can look at various investment asset classes like bonds and stocks and even precious metals. We can look at real estate. I mean, what we know is despite these ebbs and flows and despite the volatility up and down, especially in periods like this, the stock market with a well-diversified long-term strategy has been the very best place consistently to build wealth. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And nothing really has even been close. And that's why we are willing to put up with these, frankly, sometimes terrifying episodes like we've been through lately, where the market, you know, can drop 35% in a matter of a few weeks or a month. You wouldn't put up with that if you didn't have the promise over time, or at least the potential, I shouldn't say promise, I mean promise as in potential, of making those kind of big returns consistently over a long period of time.
Yeah. Well, we certainly know markets always recover, at least they always have historically, and we certainly don't expect anything different this time. We don't know what it's going to look like, Mark. Will it be a V? Will it be a U? We hope not an L for any extended period of time, but the recovery will come, and this economy is resilient, and we know despite all of that, we need to make sure our trust is in the right place, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we have to base this on things that are unshakable. And so like we talked about early in the program here, there are unshakable truths and promises from God's word. That's the bedrock. And then we need to make the best decisions that we can as stewards of God's wealth. And that's where these investing lessons from history and having a personal plan and all of these other principles of diversification and otherwise that we talk about frequently come in.
Mark Biller with us today from soundmindinvesting.org, and it's always a great pleasure to have you there, Mark, sharing not only great investing principles, but biblical principles as well, and we're blessed to have you there. Thanks so much, and let's do it again sometime real soon, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark.
The Enduring Optimism of an Investor, available to read at soundmindinvesting.org. Our number, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise. We'll be right back.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West is here taking calls at 800-525-7000. You can also send us an email, just a couple of lines, questions@moneywise.org. Let's talk with Eric, calling from Crown Point, Indiana. Rob?
Eric, we're so glad you've called today. You're on MoneyWise. Go right ahead.
Hi, I really appreciate you taking my call. I've always been interested in getting into stocks, and I've heard the old saying of buy low, sell high. And just with the market kind of being lower lately, I was wondering if this would be an opportunity to get into the stock market. How much would be a good amount to start off with? Is 500 enough? 1,000? And I guess where would I go with that?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to weigh in on that. Let me ask a few questions first, if you don't mind. Just give me a quick overview of your financial situation, Eric. Do you have any debt to speak of? And then what about emergency savings?
Sure. So between my wife and I, we have about $7,000 in our account. Student loan on my side is around $16,000. I'm about to graduate in December with a nursing BSN nursing degree.
Great.
And as far as like our monthly costs, we're somewhere around $1,500. And we're trying the envelope system with Great. Our eating out budget and kind of a fun budget.
I love that. That's great. And do you find that you have $100 or $200 left over at the end of the month, or is it coming right down to the wire?
It seems like we have a steady increase throughout the year. We do have like a little bit of a bump down when it comes to like auto insurance and things of that nature. We just do like pay it off every 6 months. But I've observed that we've kind of had an increase over the year.
Okay. Very good. And do you or your wife have a company-sponsored retirement plan available to you?
Right now, I'm pretty sure my wife is putting into a Roth. I'm not sure, I think there's two different ones. I'm not sure which one it is.
Sure.
And then besides that, we don't really have any savings things. I just recently got a new job.
Okay.
And my company has a thing where it's taking some money out, putting into I want to say maybe it's a 401k or something. I'm not sure.
Great. And then last question, do you have any savings goals? So are you trying to save for a purchase of a home, or are you trying to save for a second car? Tell me what goals you've established.
Sure. So we are hoping maybe in the next 2 years to get a home and also start a family and kind of with those goals in mind, we're kind of waiting until I graduate and start my nursing career.
Got it. Okay, very good. Well, I think you're doing a lot of things right here. I didn't hear you mention any credit card debt, so it sounds like the only debt you have is the student loan debt. Is that right?
That's right. We do have credit cards, but we keep those things paid,
Okay.
after we
Excellent.
Use them.
Yeah, and I love that you're on the envelope system, using that for the discretionary portion of your spending plan. Well, I think the key here is, I heard you say you're spending around $1,500 a month, so obviously you're keeping your lifestyle pretty modest. You've built up $7,000 in savings, so you're not quite to 6 months, but you're getting close. That's a good thing. I'd love for you to quantify your goal for the home purchase, and the way to do that is to start to imagine when you're ready to buy a home, you've started your nursing career, you're ready to start a family, you guys are ready to buy a home. Even if it's not the one you'd ultimately like to buy, get a feel for the neighborhood you'd like to live in, how much you think you could spend based on a reasonable expectation of what your income will be, so that your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment isn't more than 25% of your take-home pay, and figure out how much you want to spend. If it's $100,000, well, we'd want to set a goal to save $20,000, a 20% down payment. If it's $150,000, you need to save $30,000. Even though it's a few years off, we want to know what that is so you know what you're working toward. Then the second thing I want you to do is I want you to look at the total amount you're putting into retirement accounts right now based on the 401k that you're likely contributing to and this Roth that you believe your wife is contributing to, so you all know how much you're putting away. I'd love for you to put away, as a goal, 10% of your pay. You may not be able to get there right yet because you're not in your job yet, so that may come later. You may just max out the matching portion, maybe 3 to 5% if that's available. But I'd love for you to know the answer to that so you have a feel for what is your baseline in terms of how much is going in right now, and then you know what you ultimately want to work up toward in terms of that 10%. That is really the money that I want you to be focused on investing with. The rest, rather than just dropping some money in the stock market because it's quote-unquote low, I'd rather you not go that approach, because then we're trying to time the market. And yes, it's lower today than it was 2 weeks ago. Could even be lower than this a month from now, or it could be dramatically higher. We don't know. And that's why the Bible encourages us to be what's called steady plotters, which means we're systematic over a long period of time in our investing. And that's what a consistent contribution to a retirement plan is going to do for you, is you're putting it in every paycheck or every month. And that means you're buying at all levels on the market. Well, the good news is the contribution to your 401k today is going to buy more shares of the same investment with the same amount of money than it did 2 weeks ago because of the lower level. So you benefit from this pullback in the market as a young guy who's got a lot of time on your side. But I wouldn't be opening a separate account and dropping some money in just because, quote unquote, it seems like a good time right now because of the headlines. I'd rather you be systematic. So let's go back and let's quantify the goal on the home purchase in terms of the down payment, and then set up a separate savings account for that and start contributing a little bit every month. And then secondly, figure out what percentage of your total income you're putting into retirement right now, so you know where you're starting, and then let's try to work that up to 10, ultimately 15% over time. Let's not worry about opening yet another investment account. I would just focus on those retirement accounts.
Rob, if you're going to be putting money into a retirement account, isn't that going to typically involve investing in stocks and bonds to some extent?
Oh, it will, absolutely. What I'm saying is, though, let's focus on that in terms of our investing for now. Mm-hmm. And by putting it in every month systematically, we're not trying to pick a bottom. We're not trying to say, okay, I think today's the day because the market's down. No, right. We're going to invest this paycheck and we're going to invest next paycheck. And it doesn't matter where the market is. We're systematic. That really should be our mode of investing, Steve, for the long haul.
Gotcha. Rob West, always a great pleasure, sir. Thank you for your time, and we'll come back tomorrow and do it again.
Very good, Steve. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Well, before we run today, I'm curious as to how you think about money. Do you control how you spend it, save it, or give it? Or does it seem to control you? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about money, and we have lots of resources on our website to help you get a better understanding of biblical money management. You'll find them all when you click the store button at moneywise.org, moneywise.org. Well, that's it for today. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you'll join us again next time right here on MoneyWise.
MoneyWise is provided by MoneyWise Media and listeners like you.